Financial professionals have asked the question that I will now put to the senior managers that are attending this event. Gonzalo Sánchez Bordona from UBS, Peter Bistiga, Bank of America, José Ruiz, Barclays, Meike Becker, HSBC, Manuel Palomo, Exxon BNP, Pedro Alves, CaixaBank, Rob Pulain and Arthur Sitbon from Morgan Stanley, Javier Garrido, JP Morgan, Fernando Lafuente, Alantra, Alberto Gandolfi, Goldman Sachs, James Brand, Deutsche Bank, Fernando García, Royal Bank of Canada, Hadmet Farman, Jefferies, Jorge Alonso, Societe Generale, Jorge Guimarães, JB, Javier Suárez, Mediobanca, and finally, Mark Iptak Kuem from Berenberg. First question is related to the guidance 2023. Can you help us understand the drivers of the guidance upgrade? Can you give us an indication of EBITDA for the full year?
So I think I tried to explain during my presentation. So I think, just to try to summarize again, I think there are new investment in networks. Asset base has already grown by 9% year on year, reaching 41.3 billion euros, RAP. In Brazil, there are new rate cases in Brazil, which provide higher EBIT the second half toward the first one. In all places, Coelba, Cosan in April, Electros in August, and entire gentlemen in Brazil, in Brasilia, I think, from August as well, or something else. In US, as I mentioned, the new rate case on New York, which are already affecting to positively, being retroactive from May 1st, I think is producing an effect of $150, $190 million, which Pepe mentioned. Maine as well is from July. UK, we have additional revenues for an investment of RIIO-T2 and RIIO-ED2. I think in production and customers, I think normalization of wind factor. We have already had very, very low wind factor in most countries in the first half of the year. Also now we have already seen then the finally rain in Spain. We have already better hydro conditions, a part of the pumping storage we have been making. Now we have already as well some more rain, and hydro reserves are in line or even higher than the average of the historical we had already. We have already put in service, I mentioned, 3,100 additional capacity of renewables, and we will put some more in service during the coming months. We continue recovering the tariff deficits of UK, which with some adjustment as well on the price cap. And as Pepe mentioned, is the optimization of the financial profile. I think this, which is helping, the asset rotation and partnership, which are making then our needs financially diminish. And those are the main thing, which the consequence is then the 2023 net profit guidance to double-digit growth, and that is what makes already this consideration.
Is related to the same topic. Which one-off should be excluded from the new 2023 net profit guidance?
What should be excluded? I think the asset rotation, yeah, I think that's clear. So I think that, as I mentioned before, in this result are not at all included any special capital, extraordinary capital gain. So I think that is just excluding whatever thing we can have already for capital gains for others, or another provision that we can make for another part. But then in mainly it's capital gains. It's asset rotation, capital gains.
Now the next question is related to net debt guidance. What is your net debt expectation for 2023, as we mentioned in the presentation? And could you please help us to build a bridge to the 42-43 guidance net debt from current euro 48 billion?
Pepe, can you reply to that?
Basically, what we are expecting is that the net debt from the previous presentation, we were talking about 42. Now we have had some impact from FX as the dollar is slightly stronger than what we had expected. So that was the change from 42 to 42, 43 billion. Basically, what we are expecting is to collect, you know, around 6 billion euros coming from our Mexican deal before the end of the year. So that will drive the fall in net debt from these levels to the 42, 43 billion that we are mentioning.
Please explain the non-recurring impacts of Brazil in 9 months that you mentioned in your speech.
I think, Pepe, you can already explain that.
Yeah, we have two impacts of a similar amount. One is a negative one that has to do with some extra costs that we are accounting in our transmission business, basically driven by one transmission line. And, you know, an important part of these costs are coming from the fact that during COVID, you know, the Brazilian administration was closed. So we had an important delay on the authorization, especially environmental authorizations. And that delay obviously impacted our costs, you know, and obviously that has the delay in the authorizations that we had not expected due to the COVID is an important reason of an important part of this delay. But in terms of numbers, over 200 million have to do with extra costs that we are accounting in this quarter in transmission line. And we are accounting this at the EBITDA level. And a similar amount we are accounting at the equity line, and basically has to do with a profit that we are accounting due to the exchange in our hydro plants. We have actually, as the chairman has said, got control of Dardanelos, and we are giving to Electrobras, it was and Telespires. Okay, and that is, you know, that are the two impacts. No?
Next question is related to the Avangrid. Are you satisfied with the performance of Avangrid in the first 9 months of the year?
Well, as we mentioned, I think the result has been impacted by the delay in your rate case, which finally has been approved, which is already retroactive from May, as Pepe mentioned already. But I think, Pepe, you would like to add anything. I think we are expecting 190 million. Extra, which will be accounted in the fourth quarter of this year. So, which I think that makes already the result are similar to those we were expecting.
Next, how does the rise in interest rates affect the profitability of assets and projects under implementation? And how does it affect the cost of debt?
So, I think it was already mentioned. Around 85% of our debt is already a fixed rates, excluding Brazil. And I think once we cast the operation of Mexico, I think it's around 100%. Pepe, correct to me the numbers,
yes,
if I'm not right. Correct.
And in the projects, when we start a project, we tend to have our debt already fixed. And we are not expecting an increase in the financial cost this year from the levels that we are at right now. So we had a total cost of 498, and we are expecting to end the year in a similar term.
Can you give more detail on the 1 billion euros cash inflow you expect for court rulings?
So I think that is a positive news. I think we've been investing according with the Spanish law, as most Spanish companies. The international expansion has been already with certain tax allowances. And I think there were already some decision on the European Commission who was against this thing. But finally, the court of the European Supreme Court was already saying that we did the things properly, and I think we've been forced and to be paid already with amount we had already been forced to pay in advance. So I think that's the that represents something like 600 to 700 million plus taxes, and which I think we are expecting to cash in the next months. I don't know, Gerardo, you would like to add anything on that one.
Yes, it's correct, Chairman. The European Supreme Court has decided that there was a state aid, but we had legal confidence, and we need to be paid those 700 million, even in the case that the European Commission decides to approve to appeal. Sorry, the decision of the court.
You can add already about the
And the other case is the case that have been resolved by the Supreme Court of Spain about the remuneration of the distribution companies. And the administration considered that we have been overpaid or over remunerated, but the Supreme Court has decided that we have been remunerated correctly during the last 9 or 10 years, and the financial effects are that we have to recover 230 million in cash, that no negative impacts will be produced in P&L, and we will avoid a decrease of 500 million in our asset base.
Next question is related to Spanish politics. Can you please comment on the latest agreement between PSOE and Sumar to extend the energy tax? What is your understanding on the proposal included to set a minimum tax rate of 15% for companies?
Well, first, we will expect when the government will be formed, we will see what is the final program of the government. Now it's already the discussion between different partners, with potential partners of the government, and still they are pending another one, and we will see the whole program. We will make the comments about that one.
Next is the market reform, European market reform. Could you please share your views on the recently agreed market reform?
Well, I think I was trying to be very transparent on that one. I think the European Council agreement, I think, is in line with the proposal of the Commission and the Parliament, which I think that's positive. It's consistent, in our opinion, that is consistent, balanced, and focused. I think are defending PPAs as key mechanisms to provide the stable prices for the long term. We were defending that for many, many years. Is defending no intervention, no caps, need to preserve current market pricing and avoid distortions, which I think that's positive. Has a common and clear objective to define what is a crisis situation, which I think not everyone can really define what is an energy crisis. I think it's not national intervention and mechanism. I think one is in a standard crisis situation will be defined by European Commission. CFDs or auctions can't be transformed. CFD continue to be voluntary. I think it's including certain few specifications for certain member states, especially France, on existing new capacity and how to redistribute the differences between the excess of CFD toward the price agreed to avoid market distortion. And there are positive aspects as well, like the promotion of capacity mechanism and support already flexibility measures. And something which is very important, which I think, again, I think in the last communication of the European Commissioner insisting, has been our flag for many years, the need of investing more in networks. So I think European Commission is defining more investment in networks. International agency is defining to invest more in networks. And I was already using in my previous result presentation the words of the former Vice President of the European Commission, that without networks will be no renewables, and with renewables will not be already in the transition. So networks is a key pillar of the energy transition. Now it's fully defined, and that is included as well in this presentation. So I think the analysis, in my opinion, is positive, is defending market mechanism, no intervention, and more clarity for whatever things related, how the European market has to perform and how to incentivize the investment in renewables, in networks, and introducing capacity mechanism to make it ready to give the lights on.
We have now several questions related to the PNM deal. What is the latest on PNM acquisitions? Which is the expected timing for conclusions? Could Iberdrola may consider to revisit the offer if current process is unsuccessful? And could you also share the plan B if PNM is not successful?
Pepe, or Gerardo, whatever, both. Start yourself and you continue. Afterwards, well, we'll come.
So as you know, right now we are expecting for the Supreme Court of New Mexico to decide. Once the Supreme Court decides if it is successful for our interests, then it will pass it to the Commission of New Mexico that has to approve it. We are expecting that to happen probably during the first half of next year. And regarding, you know, the in the case, you know, the plan B is basically to tell that at this moment we have lots of opportunities right now in the U.S. We have $6 billion to invest with the New York rate case. We are also, as you know, restarting NECEC, the transmission line. We have a big opportunity of repowering in our renewable assets. And, you know, with the latest news on the offshore auctions that we have seen, you know, we have still, you know, a lot of possibilities of developing offshore in the U.S. So you know, I think that there is plenty. We've never seen so many opportunities in the U.S. as we have right now.
Okay.
Okay. Now is a question related to U.S. offshore. Have you views? Your views in U.S. offshore wind change? Do you see troubles and other developers as an opportunity for Iberdrola? Will you participate in the accelerated New York actions?
Well, I finish, as I mentioned during my presentation, we have a positive view on the future of offshore wind. We have already, as I mentioned, the project which are in construction. All of them has PPA signs for 26-27. That is going to generate 1.2, 1.3 extra additional EBITDA, but to make a total contribution of our offshore business by 20, with today 700 up to 2 billion or close to 2 billion EBITDA by 26-27. As you know, we have additional sites secure with permits, with very reduced seabed cost, very competitive. As I mentioned, it's on the range of 60. Euros per kilowatts toward more than 600, even in some cases even more than that. As I'm talking about number rates, I think certain people has already paid over $1 billion per megawatt, so which I think in our case is very cheap, so that may be very competitive. Also, I think is the recent auctions seen in New York are already making more realistic prices. So, and as well has introduced something which we've been claiming, which is revision formula in the moment the FID is made. So, which I think just you can adjust the price according with the price of the different in components of the CAPEX in the moment you start the construction. So, nothing and continue. I'm optimistic, and that's why I think we continue on this one. But I think what is important is to transmit the all our offshore wind farm, which are under construction, 100% CAPEX secure, 100% of the export price is already fixed with the terms, fix the terms and the conditions. And I think that is that why I think we have no risk in those ones for already making that this project will be fully successful. And for the rest, we have already the development. We have a great opportunity seeing what is the approach of New York, others, I think is Ireland recently as well make change as well the way where the auction is made. And we hope that in Britain, in the next auction as well, is going to change the terms for making already some kind of a revision formula for making already something more realistic instead to go to a fixed price as we were already in the past.
Well, the next question is related to the same topic that you have already mentioned about Park City Wind and Commonwealth Wind. What is the forecast update for Commonwealth for both offshore power plant in the US?
Well, I think both. I think we are free for going to the next auction. In Suwari, the next auctions are already in terms, attractive terms. We'll be in condition to participate if we see the conditions are already attractive. But I think we are absolutely two projects which are already very low cost and very low capex expended to those one. I'm insisting on that one of the terms, 10 times less than most of our colleagues and competitors. And they are absolutely free to go to the auction if the terms of the auction are already enough attractive, which I expect it will be.
Next is related to the supply chains. Regarding offshore, of the project expected to be in operation by 2026, out of this, what is the proportion with the capex and the financing secured?
So I insist again, I think the capex is fully secured, closed, signed, and agreed. So I think there's no any risk on that one. I think 100% of the supply chains is granted, and the 100% of the terms of the export of the energy is fully agreed. So I think we are, let's say, many of those, the turbines are under installation in this moment. I think in the case of Vineyard Wind, the first turbine has been installed. In the case of Saint-Brieuc, I was personally visiting the installation, and they are part of the wind farm. It's exporting electricity already now. In the case of Baltic Eagle as well, I think they are already almost all the foundations are completed. The substation is there, so which I think is the things are already going according with schedule and according with cost. So I think that is what I can already say. I think we are very confident that the thing is going well because we were very active in signing all terms, either in financing, either in purchasing equipment, either in installation equipment, to make already the things according with the terms of the auction or the terms with the schedule. I said, for instance, in the case of Vineyard Wind, I think we just signed recently already the ITC, the largest ITC never been signed. The tax equity, sorry. The largest tax equity never been signed for a project in the United States, elsewhere. So it's $1.2 billion we just signed for this one, which I think that gave already just, we gave us the comfort that not only technically the things has been clearly defined and prepared, but as well the finance is already secure.
Next is asset rotation. The presentation talks about further asset rotation. Is there a euro target you have in mind?
Asset rotation. So, well, I think we make already just when we present in our investor day last year the 7.5 billion of the investment in asset rotation, certain of, let's say, of you were skeptic about the numbers. So, once again, we demonstrate that when we commit in something, we make already that a reality. So that is already done in this moment, but I think we continue already seeing the possibilities and opportunities under the same profile. The profile is how we can accelerate the. We have plenty of projects, as Pepe mentioned already, and I think we would like to optimize the financial profile using partnership on this one. We can be good for our partners and good for us as well. So I think we are in talks with for another ones as well. And I think in terms of the asset rotation, always we are open to see there are opportunities, then somebody will be ready to pay for some of our assets more than those than we can already expect to make another manner. So, but I think it's not, there are not any new target on that one. The target is the target, but I think there are opportunities. Always we are open to look for these opportunities. But in the case of partnership, I mentioned, I think we are already very proud to have already a tier one of partners in which with those one we are already signing alliance for already extending and expanding our existing joint ventures for broader and largest projects together. So, which I think probably in the next few months we will announce another new project, then we can already extend the existing alliance with our existing partners.
Question 15. Are you still planning to sell a minority stake in Avangrid's onshore renewables? Can we expect something until year end?
No, I don't know.
Well, we are analyzing opportunities, and this is one that we have analyzed. We are waiting to see, the possible offers, and but we are not expecting to see anything before year end.
Mexican deal, there have been press reports that Iberdrola will reinvest the sale proceeds in Mexico in renewables. Could you please explain whether there is any specific commitment to reinvest proceeds from the sale of Mexico in the country?
Well, there are not any obligation of agreement to reinvest in Mexico. Saying that, I think you know that Mexico has been for years a strategic country for us. It continues being a strategic country for us. I think we'll be more than delighted to have the opportunity to continue expanding our footprint in the country. The fact we are keeping almost 50% of our, after the transaction, 50% of our assets in the country, mostly in renewables. We have several projects in renewables. Certain of those projects in renewables, thanks to this agreement, has been put in service, like the project of a wind farm, which is, como se llama este? Santiago, which is 140, 130 megawatt, now is in operation. So, and I think we have another project. We are already asking for permit for another one. And we'll be more than delighted to continue making things there. So, but I think there are not any obligation, but we'll be more than delighted to continue investing in Mexico as we did in the last 20 years.
Another one in concrete regarding East Anglia 3. Can you comment on the possibility of selling the minority stake in East Anglia 3 as per press rumors?
Well, as I already mentioned, I think we are very proud to have already this bench of tier one of partners. I think it's, each of the projects in which we had already in this moment in construction can already, we can already potentially reach agreement on that one. In the case of East Anglia 3, we are talking with some of those to see the possibility of already making some partnership, but I think nothing still is concluded, but I think whatever of our existing project are already able to make some kind of partnership with certain of those what we have already this strategic alliance. In this particular case, that one of those can already become one of our partners as well.
Next question related to capital allocation. Could you provide an update in terms of your capital allocation following recent disposals? Has something changed versus November 2022 Capital Markets Day?
Pepe?
Well, I mean, we are not changing the capital allocation strategy, basically to continue investing in networks and in renewables with a selective approach as we mentioned. So nothing has changed, and we continue with the same strategy.
Next is related to Pepe as well, tax rate. What is the expected tax rate for full year 2023? And also, what could be expected for 2024?
Well, we are always somewhere between 23% and 24%, so that is basically what we are expecting.
And finally, the last question is about renewables expansion. There has been lots of discussion recently about a potential slowdown in renewables expansion in power generation. Is there any change in your willingness to invest in renewables?
No, well, I would like to insist what was our strategy when we defined last year. And I would like to insist, our priority is to keep and to maintain our financial solidity. The second one was to grow in networks and to be as a priority and to be selective in renewables. And third one is to already to invest mostly in countries with a rating. And that is our strategy. We continue on the same basis. First priority, financial solidity. Pepe has already insisted during the whole presentation about what we are doing for keeping our financial solidity. So we are keeping already, we are trying that by the year end, our debt will remain at the same level of previous year, even if we are paying increasing our dividend, even if we are investing on the range of 11, 12 billion euros during the period, thanks to asset rotation and thanks to the cash flow generated. Second, our priorities investment in networks. Why networks? First, because it's already stable, predictable, and because we have a service obligation. And I think both things, a service obligation and profitable, stable and predictable, makes ourselves prioritize that one. And that's why we are increasing our asset base during the last 1 month by 9% in this one. And renewables, we are investing. We put already in service 1,300 megawatt. We have 7,100 in construction. We have already almost all our, we have all our offshore wind farm. We are in the plan already now in the late stage of construction. Which I think they can start generating cash flow by 2024, and they will reach almost 2 billion by 2026, 2027. But we are more selective. And I think that was the strategy, selected in the sense of looking for those which are more profitable and looking for already partners in order not to stop the construction, but already to continue in the terms which will not affect our financial solidity and our profitability.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, please let me now give the floor again to Mr. Galán to conclude this event.
So thank you very much for your attention, and I think it's, as always, our investor relation team will be available if they are not, we not be enough clear in some of our question. I hope that we try to be very clear, but if there are any doubt, I think the investor relation team will be ready to reply to all of you. So thank you very much, and I think put into your agendas March next year. Is our investor day already will be held in London. Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much. Bye.